I want you to turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 3. You would do well to go home and read all of this book. It may be the love story of all love stories. Hosea chapter 3. Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for an omer of barley and a half omer of barley. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. My desire, not only today, but every time I stand to preach, is to magnify and glorify God in His grace. We preach the gospel of grace. I was just reading in a book that has been compiled and edited by a man in England of sovereign grace preachers past and present, something that Brother Mahan said in a message that is printed in the book. Maybe the best message he ever preached, somewhere in the 70s. But he said that the hardest thing for men and women to do, yea, even more than that, impossible for them to do, apart from God's Spirit, is to be saved by grace alone. Grace alone. I hate the terms that are used by false religion in our day. One of which is, accept Jesus as your personal Savior. There are more things wrong with that than I can have time to speak of this morning. But one thing is for sure, the Lord's people are said to have been made accepted in the Beloved. It is God who must accept us. And He has already accepted all His people in the Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that being the case, nonetheless, the Lord Jesus does save His people from their sins personally. He saves them by Himself and with Himself. And He saves personally. That is, He saves us individually, as well as corporately. This is a personal salvation. And our text is a picture of that salvation. It is a picture of God's redemption. Do we know anything about redemption? You see, when Hosea went down to the slave market at the command of God, it was to redeem Gomer. And to redeem, as I understand it in the biblical sense, and that's really the only one that matters, but to redeem, as we find that word used in the Bible, connected to salvation, to redeem means to buy back by the paying of a price. That's what it is to redeem. Thus, the very word, redeem. You see, Gomer, if we go back in Scripture and look, Gomer was already Hosea's wife. Look back with me in chapter 1 at verses 2 and 3. Hosea 1 and verse 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. In other words, the wife he was to choose was to be just exactly like the nation of which he was a part, which is a type and a picture of the Lord's people, of God's elect, spiritual Israel. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. This is the wife that God appointed for Hosea. And not only that, she had become this adulterous wife, and in her adultery, in her sin and her waywardness, she had been brought to the lowest point. As we say, she had reached the bottom of the barrel. And she now found herself in bondage, sold under slavery, and having no value in herself and no ability in herself to redeem herself. Look in Hosea chapter 2. In verse 5, it says of her, for their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. In other words, she went after them, thinking that they were the source of all these things, necessities and otherwise, that were provided for her. Verse 7, and she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know, Hosea says, that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. We'll show her exactly who the source of all of this is. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she has said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them, and I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. That's exactly what this woman Gomer did. That's exactly what Israel as a nation did. And that is exactly what all of God's elect did, not only in Adam, but in their own birth and in their own course of life, in their own will, each and every one became just exactly like this spiritually. But what I want you to see first this morning is that every blessing, and I do mean every blessing, which God gives to His people, they are the gifts of His grace. You say, I know that. Do we? I mean everything from A to Z and everything in between that they are made to receive, they have purely, freely of His grace and are altogether a gift. Now I'm going to show you that again in three verses, if you'll listen as I read them. The first one is Ephesians 1 and the third verse, where the apostle writes this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. All spiritual blessings, all the blessing of God, all in Christ, all given the free gift of His grace in Christ before the world began. All right, here's another verse. Most important thing, righteousness. Romans 5 and verse 17, Paul writes, For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. If you ever have righteousness, if you are ever counted righteous in the sight of God, it will altogether be through this gift of righteousness. The abundance of God's grace to you. And then here is the third verse. Lest in any way we think that any part of this redemption, any part of this salvation is in any measure by human will or works or merit. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Paul again. For by grace are ye saved. For by grace are ye being saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Even the faith by which we are enabled to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, even that faith is not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. So everything that we receive from God, all spiritual blessings, they are all gifts of His grace. They are all to the praise and glory of His grace, Christ Himself being the unspeakable gift. Our Lord standing with the woman at the well. It says that He said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. Well, she never asked Him for the true living water. But she received it. Why? Because it is the gift of God. Here's another verse. When a man sought to purchase something by way of his ability to pay, to have anything of God, Peter says to a man in Acts 8, thy money perish with thee because you thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Not even a spiritual gift. Not even ability to do anything. He says it is everything the gift of God. And here is the verse that sums it all up in Romans 6 and verse 23. Paul again says, for the wages of sin is death. Whatever you and I do to merit something, it is simply sin. And therefore the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin, that unspeakable gift. Everything is the gift of God's grace, and everything is given freely to the Lord's people in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the preaching of the gospel, which is described in Scripture as being good news, is the announcement of that very thing. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it is here that the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, is telling them how that we have received the Spirit not of the world, but the Spirit of God. Listen to what he says in verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, But the Spirit which is of God, that. In other words, we receive every regenerated sinner, every one of God's people in time receive the Spirit of God, quickening them to new birth, bringing them to spiritual life in order for something. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That we might know what we are to do? No. That we ought to find out some steps that we ought to follow? That we ought to discover some sacrifices that we need to make? No. Wherever the Spirit of God brings that new birth, brings a sinner to life, it is to bring them to the knowledge of, the appreciation of, and the reception of the things that are freely given to us of God. You see that? Could it be any plainer? That's why it's good news. It is not a message of do, do, do. It is a message of done, accomplished, given of us, to us, of God. And these many glorious gifts of God's grace and mercy, hold on now, they're never said to be purchased by Christ. They're never said to be purchased by Christ. They're always said to have been freely given to us in Christ. They are always said to be the gifts of God's grace. You see, He did not have to buy the gifts of God's love for us. It is all God's grace. It is all freely given to His people. So, if Christ was not purchasing any of these gifts for us in His life and death, if all these things are freely given to us as the gift of His grace, and yet it is said that He is there on that cross redeeming, what was He doing in His cross death? He was purchasing, He was redeeming us. Us. Now you needn't argue with me on this, because I've already, twice, taken my computer, that wonderful search and rescue Bible program, and I've searched all the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, using the words redeem, redeemed, redemption. And I can tell you, this is the way it is. Everywhere, even as we read in that Psalm 107, redemption has to do with the redeeming or the purchasing of some people. Look back at our text. When I read this verse some time back, it hung in the back of my mind. And when I was in Michigan last week. I got in that motel room by myself, and I couldn't get this off of my mind. But look at what he says there. Hosea chapter 3 and verse 2. Hosea says, "So I bought her to me." So I bought her to me. You see, he had already given her, as we read in chapter 2, he had already given her a host and a multitude of gifts. And he had purposed at the command of God to give her a whole lot more gifts. But she could never enjoy them. Why? Because she was a slave. She had reduced herself to the most ugly, worthless creature. And she's down there on the market, up for bid to anybody as the for the price of a slave. As a matter of fact, the price for a slave was 30 pieces or 30 shekels of silver. And here is this woman who is bought for 15 pieces of silver and a portion and a half of barley. That was kind of low rations, barley. On the one hand, we have a picture of her worth, her actual worth. She's worth the ration of a slave. But on the other hand, she's redeemed with a price. Silver. 15 shekels of silver. On the one hand, we have a picture of what we are worth in ourselves. On the other hand, we have a picture of the worth and value of the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this is the message that is good news to God's people. Christ hath redeemed us. He wasn't hanging on that cross to buy something for us by way of all these gifts that God had freely given us in Christ before the world began. He's hanging on that cross, paying the price, paying the ransom that is necessary to our redemption. We were just like Gomer. You see, when Gomer fell into her adulteries, when she left her husband, when she conducted herself in such a terrible manner, when she became what she became because of her unfaithfulness in sin, that didn't end their marriage. The Lord's people are the possession of Jesus Christ. All of God's elect are the possession of Jesus Christ for three reasons. Number one, they're His by creation. There was not anything made that was not made by Him. The Word that was made flesh and dwell among us. Number two, they are His because the Father in that everlasting covenant gave them to Christ. Just read John 17. And they are His by redemption. He bought them all, paid the debt of their sin, and redeemed them unto Himself by His cross death. You see, He still loved her. You say, now, how can you imagine that Hosea could ever love a woman like this? Because God commanded him to. And we would do well in all our relationships. We would do well if we loved those we are commanded to love simply on that basis, not because of feeling, but because God commands it. He loved her, and we know it because He still provided for her. It'd be like someone going down to the local motel where his wife is as we say, shacked up with some other man or something, and he lays money and food and all these things at the door. That's what he's talking about. And that's the way divine love is. Divine love finds its reason in God. God finds His reason for loving us in Himself. And when she became a slave, that did not change what God had commanded Him concerning her. But she could not enjoy any blessing of Hosea now, because she'd become a slave. The law had a hold on her. Her fall had brought her to bondage. Justice had a claim now on her. And that's exactly where we fell in, Adam. Love with an everlasting love. Blessed with a covenant salvation in Christ before the world began. Espoused to Christ as His bride from old eternity. But when we first came in that man, our federal head and representative, the one from whom we came, we fell in Him to such a degree that we were enslaved even before we were born. And we prove it when we are born. We prove it. In the same fashion of Gomer, when God's elect fell in Adam, when we sinned against God in Him, that did not change that everlasting covenant of grace. Thank God. Everything we have in Christ, all the blessings, all the spiritual blessings, that's the only one's going to last anyway. And this glorious redemption. Paul expressed it like this: being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What an amazing thing is this redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, Christ was not suffering the death of the cross to make God love us, but to redeem us from the slave market of sin, to release us from the incarceration of divine justice by paying the debt, by suffering the penalty necessary for divine justice to righteously and justly set us free. He wasn't just standing our bail. He was purchasing us. It wasn't just a release out of jail. It was the purchasing, the redeeming of us unto His own self. To redeem us to God, who already possessed us, who already was in relationship to us, redeemed us from our sins, redeemed us from the curse of the law, redeemed us to God. We couldn't redeem ourselves. We're bankrupt sinners whose sin had left us like Gomer, wretched and unclean and imprisoned. The psalmist said it like this: none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of the soul is precious. It ceaseth forever. But the lover of our soul How could He ever have loved us? How could His heart ever have been drawn out to such unlovely creatures as we are? How could He ever in His love have suffered the death of the cross to redeem us? That's this good news. He redeemed us. He came into the world to save sinners. He suffered and He died for the ungodly. Peter said He suffered the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Turn over and look at 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Now, listen to this now. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. That silver coin that was taken from every person in Israel as the price of redemption, Peter says, you know that didn't actually redeem you. But with the precious blood of Christ, there's no talking about salvation apart from redemption. And there's no talking about redemption apart from the bleeding, the dying, the life-giving of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. For you who? For you who by Him, by His enablement, by His giving faith, do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave you glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Turn over to Revelation 5. Revelation 5. You see, every place you find redemption in the Bible, it is always particular. Christ is not hanging on that cross to make redemption possible for every son and daughter of Adam. Christ is hanging on that cross to redeem His bride. Just like Hosea, when he went down to the slave market, he didn't redeem every slave woman in that market. He went to redeem Gomer. And here they are in Revelation 5 and verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood. Listen to this. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The redeemed will stand in glory and in harmony. If not on this earth, they're going to be in perfect harmony in that hour. And this is the subject and theme of their song, singing to the Lamb, You redeemed us. You redeemed us by Your blood, by Your death, Your sacrifice. You redeemed us to God. You redeemed us out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. You redeemed us from among me. Look over in Revelation 14. Here they are again. Verse 3, And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000. Who are they? That is simply a number that is given by God to show that the whole complete company of the redeemed will be there. Just like Israel as a whole, 12 tribes, 144,000, spiritual Israel, all will be there and none missing, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. These were redeemed from among men. The first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. He redeemed us. These He redeemed. The kinsman redeemer that we have pictured in the book of Ruth, Boaz, who's a type of Christ, he went down to the gate of the city, to the seat of all legal transactions. He did exactly what was necessary, paid exactly what was necessary to redeem Ruth. Why? For His bride. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, he said, Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He purchased with his own blood. That means Christ is God. That means that redemption is by his blood. And that means that the church, which is said to be Zion, which is said to be Jerusalem, which is said to be his bride, is who he redeemed. Here's our Lord in the synagogue at Nazareth. He opens up where they are reading. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." You think Gomer was bruised? Battered by her false lovers? Used? Abused? Cast aside? You see, this is what God-given faith confesses. We have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. We have been redeemed by his death. On the cross, our beloved was purchasing us from off the slave market of sin, whereto we had sold ourselves, that we might enjoy for all eternity the things that God has freely given us of his grace. It says he gave himself a ransom for many. Us. Jeremiah, "Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock, for the Lord is the conniver and supplanter." That's what we are by nature. Gomer, Jacob. That's what we are by grace. Redeemed by Christ. "For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he." Isaiah, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. You have sold yourselves for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money." How's that? With blood. With Christ. Like Israel of old, in that Egyptian bondage, they were redeemed. That's a picture of redemption. And they were redeemed by the blood of that Passover lamb that was sprinkled, and they were redeemed by power. God actually, by his power, brought them out of that captivity. And so God the Spirit has to come, and because of Christ's blood shedding on that cross and the satisfaction of divine justice and the payment of the debt of our sin, he comes in the power that belongs to God alone. and rest us out of the hand of the one who's stronger than we are. Delivers us out like He did those Israelites, making a way when there was no way. And what a God glorifying this thing is. And what a comfort to sinners it is. And what good news it is. That when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. That we might receive the adoption of sons. Not that we might become sons, but that we might receive the adoption, which is the public displaying and public manifestation of sonship. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He redeemed us. Who? Those who believe God. Paul, writing to Titus, said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity. And purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Let me show you one more verse in 1 Corinthians 6. Just as he does everywhere else, Paul gives instruction in what some people call practical godliness. I'm not sure I like that term, but anyway, instruction in life and cleanliness in living and such. That's what he's talking to, especially to this people who came out of a culture of blatant, not only idolatry, but immorality and ungodliness of the worst kind. But when he tells them to flee fornication and such as that, he says in verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? You say, well, I'm my own man. Well, you don't belong to Christ then. You'll die. You know what they say about a self-made man? He's got a fool for a creator. You are not your own. Why? For you are bought with a price. For you are bought for a price. Christ did not hang on that cross to buy something just in case you need it or want it. He redeemed His people. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Now, in our text verse, this wonderful, wonderful text verse, he says, so I bought her to me. I bought her for me. Christ bought us for Himself. So that the Song of Solomon pictures for us what I think are wonderful words, where the bride says, I am my beloved's, and He is mine. He is mine. Look at this third verse of Hosea 3. And I said to her, Thou shalt abide for me many days. This is Christ speaking to His bride, His redeemed. You'll abide for me, for my glory, for my pleasure, many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. And thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. That's what you're going to be for me. And I'm also going to be for you. That is astounding. That not only by His redeeming grace and mercy, that we would be for Him, but that He would be for us for all eternity. That's redemption. This is Christ. He's not talking about Gomer. He's talking about His bride. Fallen, enslaved, captive by Satan, held under the curse of a broken law, bound up at the hand of divine justice as those who have sinned against God, but yet loved with an everlasting love, espoused to this Redeemer. He says, so I bought her to me. Our Father, this day, grant to us that gift of faith to believe what You say, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to rejoice in His redeeming work. Grace, Lord, that we should be to Him and to no other. And enable us to rejoice in what He has made Himself to be to us. We have no other. We have no other righteousness except that which You give. Everything we receive is Your grace, Your gift. Enable us, we do pray, to look to Him alone and to give You praise and glory for Your regret, for that grace, for that justification which is freely given by Your grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We pray that You would rebuke the devourer and keep him from stealing away the precious seed of the gospel. Make our hearts, our minds, to be ground that is prepared to receive that precious seed. Bring it forth to fruit in Your time. And may everything redound to the praise of the glory
of your grace. For we pray and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.